This campaign was the subject of most of the surviving panels in one room of Sennacherib's palaces. The gates and walls of Lachish are depicted with special attention to the siege of the city. The Assyrian army pushes siege engines up huge ramps of earth, and the defenders of the city try to repel this attack by throwing lit torches at the wooden siege engines. But the Assyrians have predicted this action, and we see men pouring water down the front of the siege engines to make sure that they don't catch fire and be destroyed. The artistic rendering of the battle at Lachish would be memorable enough, but there is additional evidence for the campaign. The earthen siege ramps constructed by the Assyrians at Lachish have been discovered by archaeologists. They are impressive. One stands about 50 feet high and almost 200 feet wide at the bottom. So this gives us a sense of the scale necessary to take a city. There was a hard layer of stones topped by clay and logs, which made a layer on which to push the siege engines up against the walls of the city. Other remnants of the battle have been found here, arrowheads, armor, including some Assyrian helmets. So this helps us link this particular attack on the city with the Assyrian attack. We've spoken before about the callous attitude of the Assyrians, and this is rampant in their art. That might be justified in images of war, where you want to show the king and his army defeating an enemy. So you need to show the results of the army's attack. But there's one panel in Ashurbanipal's palace, called by modern scholars Ashurbanipal's garden party, and we see Ashurbanipal and his queen enjoying an outdoor banquet. And this is one of the few images of a queen, and the fact that she is present really reinforces the idea that this is a scene of peace. There are different types of trees, birds twittering in them. Both the king and his queen are very well dressed. They have fly whisks to make sure that they're comfortable. There's music. And while they are enjoying this beautiful outdoor banquet, the king is able to gain additional pleasure by looking at the head of the king of Elam, King Tumman, which is hanging from a tree branch. Tumman's head is a recurring motif in Ashurbanipal's reliefs. The Elamite king is shown running away from the Assyrian force on foot. He is captured and murdered. His head is hung around a captured ally's neck while the other captives, presumably Elamites, are mistreated. And it ends up here in his garden. How do we justify this? When Assyrian kings were victorious, and they always are in our sources, they were described as bringing a moral order to the region. We've encountered a related theme that different Mesopotamian cultures bring civilization or urbanization to a particular region, and war has constantly been justified as being conducted on behalf of a god. But this moral authority of Assyrian rulers was a little bit different. The Assyrian king embodied this sense of justice so intensely that just looking at him would bring an enemy to his knees or cause them to retreat or panic. When rebellions against the king occurred, the sources describe the rebels as insane. Why else would they challenge the king? And so, once again, there's a sense that the Assyrian king needs to establish peace, and this is what benefits his empire. Ashurbanipal's account of his victory against a rebellious tribe notes that after their defeat, the people asked each other, "Why has such a disaster fallen? Because we did not follow the great oaths of Ashur, and we sinned against the kindness of Ashurbanipal." Loyalty was highly valued, and the king expected to receive assurances of the support of governors, provinces, basically his entire empire regularly. It was not uncommon for an Assyrian king to demand that all of his subjects take a sacred oath of loyalty to endorse one of his decrees. And tribute, of course, also provided a very visible sense of loyalty of the different provinces to the king.